How good it is to spend your Sunday evening in God's house, and a very warm welcome, especially to friends and visitors from other churches. A very, very warm welcome to you. Matthew chapter 25 is where our text for tonight was taken from. Will you kindly turn there? The whole chapter speaks about the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, that great climactic event. Are you ready for it, dear friends? If you are a member of the kingdom already, I say strive for it. Do your best for it. The Lord requires you to do it, and He is pleased when you do it. This parable we have just read is a serious parable. I hope you will take it seriously. It will do you greatest profit if you read this chapter a few more times. What chapter, you say? Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. And sense the reality, the seriousness of the soon coming kingdom of heaven on earth. When our Lord shall return, will you be ready? That is the main question. That is the only question you ought to ask yourself tonight. The kingdom of heaven is a man traveling to a far country, and he has assigned his servants. Who are the servants? But you and me, who are part of that great kingdom, thank God if you are. If you're not, may I invite you to consider seriously, where will you be when the king returns? This is all that matters. Not how rich you are, how good you are, how clever you are today. But the day to come, soon it will be. The Lord shall return in the clouds of heaven and take an account. It says here, verse 19, that long time is almost over, dear friends. Verse 19 says, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. So it will be. My dear friends, consider. There is no avoiding. There is no escaping. When the day comes, there will be a reckoning. How will you do? I oftentimes think, especially when I was younger, how sad it would be if I'm found to have been unfaithful, slothful, and negligent. How sad it would be. And the Lord requires not superhuman efforts, you know. That's not required. What does the Lord require? When the first two servants came before the Lord, what did the Lord say to them? Good, faithful. There's the two qualities that are required of you and me. Be good, to be loyal, grateful to the Lord, the Master who has assigned you certain of His goods, talents. We are to be good custodians and to trade wisely. That's number one. Be good. Are you good? Number two is faithful. Do your uttermost. You got five talents. God has given an IQ of whatever. Use it. You got two talents. Use it. This is all that is required of us, and the Lord will be pleased. I have chosen tonight's topic. The theme is, why not the best? Those of you who are more familiar with American history may recall that the unknown peanut planter called Jimmy Carter became president of the United States of America on this book. He wrote this book, Why Not the Best? And there he shared his vision, his dream for America of superior and eminent achievement in this global scene. He did it. Why not the best? And I thought it is good we adopt this also. That men of the world strive for excellence in order to gain political power. We want to strive our uttermost because whereas kingdoms of the earth one day will disappear, God's kingdom never disappears. And you and I, thank God, we are part of that kingdom. So why should we not strive as hard as people aiming for position, for power, for influence in this world that will soon pass away? And we strive for a heavenly kingdom, what must we do? Why not the best? There is a saying I've put in the weekly this morning. It is a common saying. It says good, better, best. Never let it rest. Till your good is better and your better best. So take this home again tonight and remember it. Whatever you are doing, student, housewife, housewives, not to be neglected, you know, very important. In your kitchen, I must cook better. I must wash better. Keep house better. Why not? Why should Christians be second rate? What for? Why? No need. So I say, if our Lord has done his best for us, has he not? And we serve him, let us do our best. The best thing that ever happened to my family was that God took us out of our homeland. I was born in China. I told you that last week. Remember? If there is anyone who can claim to be a patriot, I was born in Taiwan. So, we came over. I said, that was the greatest deliverance for our family. For if God had not taken us out of China and had left us there, we came over in 1926. Very soon after that, Japanese invasion, communist uprising, the whole country was in turmoil. We would all have been turned into little communists. How sad, but I say, by God's grace, he had better plans for us, for which we are eternally grateful, always grateful. Grateful for what? God saved us out of China and planted us in a place called Nanyang, South Seas. Johor, why, to be specific. Now here we are in Johor. This is my family. In the very center is a man of God called Grandfather. I never regret that I spent about 4 years living with Grandfather. These are the things that God has given to us for our blessing, heritage, a godly heritage. If we have godly parents, thank God for them every day. Will you please remember that? My wife said she was at a clinic where she had a minor operation. And there was a mother with a teenage daughter. And the daughter said to the mother on whatever she was doing, how disgusting to the mother. And the mother quickly did something to please the daughter. This is what's happening today. Children, they have no respect of parents. But I thank God, our parents, grandparents, gave us the godly heritage. Honor thy father and thy mother. I said, this is the best thing we can learn, the best heritage. So I thank God for this old man. 4 years, he set us the example. Totally godly. I'm sorry. Is this working?
You should have raised your hand. I know it. All right.
A man that is absolutely detached from the world. Nothing in the world bothers him except that he should walk in the world as on the way to heaven and right now in the very outskirts of heaven. This is the old man. So I learned. And those things learned by example, you never forget. What you are taught by lectures evaporate. But when you see somebody do it because it is good to do, because it is the godly way to live, you learn. Father had, I would say, unrealistic dreams that caused him at the age of 22 to be hobnobbing with the president of China. I cannot understand it. I'd be so terrified of a man called the president, but he can go. He had aspirations that were not godly. And God had mercy on him because of grandfather. I'm sure grandfather prayed that God would deliver us out of the clutches of politics. So, twice on the brink of death, God saved him and took our whole family out of China. I say, this was the hand of God. We had an exodus out of our spiritual Egypt, China. So we came to the promised land in Nanyang. And here, God showed us His marvelous will. And the one thing that God intended for our family was to be revived in the things of God by sending one man called Dr. John Sung. Right? If you do not know his life, read it. John Sung, my teacher. There's one man changed the course of the church history in Southeast Asia altogether. And because of him, thousands were saved. I would say hundreds of thousands were saved, and thousands were revived, and thousands were put into the ministry to serve the Lord, even up to today. Here is the living example. Because of that, this is Timothy told my brother, right? And he was about 16 or so. And because of this move, again, God showed us His wonderful, marvelous plan for truly, God had a plan. God had a way for us to get out of China to come to Southeast Asia for His own purpose. And here we are today. This mother, God took her at 54. You ask me, why? I said, absolutely God's plan for her. You have done your work. 8 children, all of them believers. You are tired, come home to rest. She went home after 5 days. That's me. Yeah. That's my second brother, the one who's seen it to me and now departed to heaven. And he was a doctor. That's elder sister. In those days, lady doctors were a rarity. So she is a rarity. And she was good because when father saw that sister graduated, she says, you take over support of the family. I'm going to retire. And she did. And you don't get married also. She did. She not. So those days, father will lecture us. Family worship is 1 hour. Don't, no joke. You don't move. And I am the general. You all are soldiers. Stay still. And that one was all the time. You complain? No, you don't complain. Because if you complain, there'll be greater things coming. So we were brought up in that thing. Are there any regrets? Not at all. All of us, 8 of us, all love our parents. Why? Because the godly heritage sinks in. I say, by God's grace, not our own goodness. And that's my fourth brother. He's sitting over there. He's also a retired doctor. And this is Mrs. Peter Ng. All right, JSM people will know her. Yeah, she's a bit small there. And that's Mrs. Lim Kim Hee. All right, those of you who know Elder Lim Kim Hee in Woodlands Life Church, New Life Church. And that's my youngest brother, number 5th brother. So here we are. Now back to Father. Father taught us some very, valuable, precious lessons in determination. 志气. I don't know whether I'm saying it right in Mandarin, but Teochew is 志气. Whatever you do, you must have determination. Set your target, persevere, determine. Now that's one thing he gave to all of us. When he does a calligraphy, when he does a poem or essay, he will write. Mother will be there. Mother is the sounding board. Mother is the critic. Is this sentence all right, mother? Mother will say yes or no or change or whatever. And I am the observer. I cannot run away. Do I understand? Not much. But the thing that you would never forget is striving for excellence. Father will not let a poem or an essay or a composition go without 100 times refining, refining, refining. Why? Do your best. Nothing but the best. Why not the best? So in those days, in the worldly sense, he was striving. But until Dr. Johnson came and turned him around, after that, everything he did for the Lord is the best. Nothing but the best. And I want to leave this with all of us here. If a thing is worth doing for the Lord, it is worth doing well. And if it is worth doing well, it is worth your doing your best. You think that's reasonable? We sang the song. The Lord has done so much. So much you can never repay. And then what do you do to repay? I say, you do your best. Whatever you do, so that is Father. So in those ways, that kind of thing becomes part of your system. That you do not do things haphazardly, half-heartedly. And in Singapore, Singlish is 6:30. Yeah. I don't know what it means, but when they say 6:30 means no good. So we don't do those things. Whatever you do for the Lord, do your best. So these are the things we have learned from Father through Dr. John Sung, right? How are you serving? Please turn with me to another... we have got something to talk about this parable. Still on Matthew chapter 25. This parable is a serious parable. And we must read it seriously and consider it seriously. Verse 19. After a long time, the Lord of those servants returned and he took a reckoning with them. I want to impress on you, dear friends, that long time from the time this parable was spoken is nearly 2,000 years. Please do not get into that idea that since the Lord has not come back, and you all have been telling us for the last 55 years, and still nothing is happening, therefore, it will not happen. Please do not fall into that kind of misconception. Let us be serious. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the Lord says, my word will not pass away. I say, I'm coming back, I am coming back. And let me inform you, after these nearly 2,000 years, the day of his coming is at hand, at the doors, instantly coming anytime. Are you ready? This is the whole point. Now when it comes, verse 21, the first servant, I pray that it will be you. Yes, I pray so, that none of us here will go and bury that one talent and do nothing. And saying, well, Lord, I knew you were such a hard man and difficult man and I'm afraid of you. So I see your money I give back to you. Not that. Please see verse 21. Let us all learn to be the good servant and expect the Lord. I say that is the most wonderful thing you can ever hear. And this is what I long and I hope and I expect the Lord to speak to me on that day. What is it? Thou good and faithful servant. All right. Would you like to hear the Lord say to you when you stand before that judgment seat? And the Lord will look at you and say, good, faithful, enter into my rest. There is a reward for you. How wonderful. But Lord, the Lord is coming, and the time to serve him is now. You got your talents. Are you a 5-talent man? 2-talent man? 1-talent man? Also can. As long as you will trade with the 1 talent and earn another talent, you will receive the Lord's, well done, good and faithful servant. So this is it. Let us consider, therefore, and not be as the 3rd man. Do nothing. And what does he say? Verse 26. And the Lord answered and said to him, thou wicked and lazy, slothful servant, you knew I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not scattered the seeds. Thou oughtest therefore to have put your money into the exchangers and earn some interest. At least you bring me the interest and say, Lord, I could not do anything, but I earn you some interest. I would still appreciate that, you know. Our Lord is a very merciful Lord. You agree? Yes. He's a very merciful, tolerant, understanding Lord. He will be satisfied if you bring some interest. But to come and say, I did nothing, you will receive, thou wicked, slothful servant. Let none here aspire to that. Please don't. Please don't. Ever since Dr. Johnson came and the word of God came, I have resolved in my own life, this is my testimony, yes, in my own life, that I will do for the Lord better than what I do for my own interest. Ever since I entered into serving the Lord, the Lord's day is the Lord's day. It's very, very simple. There is no great complicated theology for me to love the Lord's day. Nothing at all. This is His day. And this is the only day. And this day is a prelude, foretaste of my everlasting abode and dwelling with Him. And He says, keep it to remember it, to prepare for the day when you'll be with me. Is that your aspiration? I ask you tonight, very honestly. Please never live as though Singapore is for permanent. You say, wonderful, I'm now PR. I said, no, you're only TR. I am citizen, I'm TR. Temporary resident. All of us, for how long? 20, 30, 50, 70 years. And then what? Think. Where is your permanent abode? And what will you say to the Lord on that day? So, from day one, I said, Lord, I will honor you on your day. As much as possible, all my faculties, my time, my talent, my thinking, my meditation on that day will be for you. Okay. Prayer meeting night, I never miss it. Unless for some really good reason. Why not? Why not your best? I said, these things are fundamental. And I say to all of you lovingly, if you are not yet in that frame of mind, pray. Come honestly before the Lord at the cross and say, Lord, you bled for me. You died for me to give me life, to give me hope, to give me a home in heaven. I give to you my Lord's day. You say, you're always harping on the Lord's day. I say, yes. Why? Because it is the most important thing. And it is now, today, desecrated. And people think nothing of the Lord's day. I said, that's why you must tell people, the Lord's day is the Lord's day. And the Lord's day is for the Lord's people. Therefore, honor him on that day. Prayer meeting, if you are interested in the welfare and growth of the Church of God, in the dissemination of the gospel of Jesus Christ, come to pray. If you can't go to the mission field, you can come to pray. If you can't give for missions, you can come to pray. All of us can come to pray. You don't know how to read the Bible because you're illiterate, but you can pray. Also, come. So I say, that has been my resolve. The Lord's Day, day of prayer, why not? The best. Yes, building God's house. I well remember the day we left Life Church, Gilstead Road, to go to Jurong, far west of Singapore. And the day came for us to build God's house. I said, let's do our best. Nothing but the best. Remember, King David sat in his palace. And he says, I sit here in the palace of Cedar. I got everything, but my Lord's house is between curtains in the tabernacle of tents. And he aspired to build something for God, the temple. And God says, no, not you. Not you. But to us was given the blessing and privilege of building Jurong. After that, 5 years later, to build this one. I say, dear friends, that kind of privilege, that kind of blessing is not often given to many people. But when we got it, I promised the Lord, said, Lord, this house must be better than my house. This is the thought of David, you know. Yes, David's desire. And now you have the desire, you have your desire fulfilled, you have the opportunity. I say, let this house be built the best. Why not the best? Why not? So I give you just one example. I said, let there be carpets. My house did not have carpets. Those days, 25, 30 years ago, very few people in Singapore had carpets. Everybody says, hot climate cannot have carpet. I say, is that right? You go to the super hotels, all have carpets. Why you come to God's house, no carpet? You say, well, it's too luxurious. Is that too luxurious? Oh, my friends, honor the Lord and He will honor you. So I say, why not the best? Let's put carpet. Here you see carpet. God's house, God's day, God's time. Do you give Him the best of God's time? Preaching. I'm a gynecologist. People say, hey, do you go to Bible college? I said, no. You're not so afraid that you're preaching the wrong thing. I said, well, I have God's word, and I take time to study and to prepare. Vacation time, study. Go to London, study. Everywhere I go, study. Why not? Prepare a sermon, write it all out. You don't know how to preach a sermon? Read Spurgeon. Why not? All the books are there. Study. Learn from Spurgeon. Imitate Spurgeon. Nothing wrong with that. And preach it out in your own words. But I say, dear friends, you got to go through the discipline to give your best. I think whatever you are doing, you want to witness for the Lord, prepare. Study your Bible. You want to teach a Sunday school class, also prepare. Nothing but the best. I said, dear friends, this is the way to go through it. So that even a gynecologist can preach the word of God, understandably, that you say that fellow is not a fool. At least I can understand the word of God. So we all must try our best. Whether you are a housewife, there's a housewife, I say, she has in the kitchen. Not anyhow, but triumphantly. What has that got to do with cooking? Yes, because my Lord died for me, to save me, to give me a future, to give me dignity in living. Let there be dignity in cooking. Let me do it well. Whatever you do, washing, cooking, ironing, cleaning, sweeping. So that was the kind of mentality and lifestyle that Father left to us. We are not rich. We were not rich at all. Father never owned a single square foot of property. Not one foot. Not one car. Nothing. Only what we needed to live for 8 children. But His house is always clean, spotless, and dignified. These are the things we learn. I say, dear friends, not the amount of money you have, But how you use that money as a steward of the Lord Jesus Christ, that matters. So footprints are things that we observe from father, mother, from God's people, from God's servant. And today, thank God you're here to share with me these experiences, footprints on the sands of time. What for? In order that seeing, hearing, you say, if God can do it for him, God, please do it for me. And let us all live and serve the Lord with greater resolve that whatever we do, we will do our best. Now, let me just close with this. If you are to think and to name one character in Old Testament, one in New Testament, who did their best for the Lord, whom would you vote for? You'd like to try that? Be serious. Old Testament, what character would you like to think of? My character, I know. Do you know yours? King David? Moses? My choice, Joseph. He did his best. As a younger brother who was despised and hated by the elder brother, he never retaliated. Perfect. Never retaliated. When he goes to the foreign land where everything was perfect for him to sin the great sin, he says, how can I sin against my God? That's it. His mind is made up here. I will honor my God. I say, that is the best character. When the circumstances are perfect, ideal for you to do that which other people don't have, that circumstance, he says, how can I sin? Why should I not do the best for my Lord who has saved me in spite of my being sold into Egypt? When he went to the dungeon, how was he? He continued to serve the Lord. So much so that he became the assistant dungeon keeper. Yeah. The dungeon keeper left things for him to do. And because of his quality and his God-fearing nature, God elevated him to the very top to be the number two man in the whole of Egypt. He is my best character. One who says nothing but the best. Only the best will do because I belong to the King. That is my Old Testament character. You agree? If you don't, you agree now. Yes. Because he's the best. Yes. He is the best. My model, my hero is Joseph. The one who can walk straight anytime, anywhere, seen or unseen. Joseph was a man after God's own heart and only the best. Now, New Testament. Who? Obviously, we all agree, is Paul the Apostle. And I want to give it to you here, if you turn with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. This is a well-known passage, and may it speak to someone here tonight. Verse 24. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Know ye not that they which run in the race run all, but one receives the prize, so run, that ye may obtain. Do your best. Why not the best? Because you're in the race. You don't enter a race to lose, you know. Nobody enter the race say, I'm going to be last. I will run very slowly, I'll be the last. No. Everyone in the race has an aspiration, a target, a desire to be top. You be that for the Lord Jesus Christ. Run your best. Fight your best. Verse 25. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. So it is. Today's Olympics, you get the gold medal. But we, something better. An incorruptible crown. Please ponder and think about this. We all are in the race. You and I. Ever since you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and became a servant of Jesus Christ, you are in the race, running for that heavenly target, the heavenly home. So verse 26, I say, you say this for yourself. Therefore you run, not as uncertainly, but with a definite promise there is a reward coming for you. Therefore you run, please. So Paul says, not as one that beateth the air. This is not shadow boxing. This is not fiction. Verse 27, but I keep under my body this sin-loving body, this carnal self, the old Adam in me, keep it under. Pray daily, surrender to the Lord, say, Lord, take over my body. Control me, give me the desire only to serve you, only to please you, only to do my best for you. My best is not to sin. My best is not to go with the world. My best is not to love the things of the world. Therefore, you got to pray and then promise the Lord he will do it. Verse 27 in closing, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Yes, keep it under control. Don't let it control you. But let the Spirit of God in you control the old nature of the body in you. When I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Oh, this is the constant concern while we are in this mortal, carnal, sin-loving body. There is always that danger. Oh, my friends, what have you given for the Lord? This is our closing question. He has given all for you. God gave his best, his son, his only begotten son, who came and he gave everything to you, his own life. What have you given for him? The story is told of a missionary in India, that great country of ancient civilization, standing at the river Ganges, or Ganga, all right, the greatest river in India, the holy river, and this is where thousands and hundreds of thousands and millions go in there to get washed of their sins, and there to purify themselves, and there to sacrifice. The missionary saw this poor lady carrying a crippled child and holding in her arm a beautiful boy, aged about 4, walking upstream. A couple of hours later, she returns, carrying the cripple minus the beautiful child. What had happened? She had been convinced. You want to receive the blessing of the gods? Give him your best. Your only son, 4 years old, beautiful, healthy. She went and did exactly that. Upstream, threw him into the river. Came back with a cripple. This is a story told by missionaries, a real, true story. I said, dear friends, consider how she is willing, under erroneous teaching, to do it, believing, I have done my best for my gods. What have you done? Have you done your best for your God, the one who gave you his only begotten son? Let us be serious. Let our religion, our faith, our Christianity be serious. Think, dear friends, tonight, come before the Lord in confession of your sins and say to the Lord, Lord, I have wasted so much of my time, my energy, my money, my talents, doing the things of the world. Why? What for? Let us be serious before the Lord and say, Lord, you have done so much for me. May your Spirit come over me, into me, control me, take charge and make my life worthwhile for you. All that I have, my money, my talents, my time, all that I am, all that I have is yours, Lord, for your use. Let us do our best. Let us pray. Father in heaven, grant that we may all appreciate the great love of God, which we can never repay, but help us to understand we must be faithful and consider how we may return our gratitude by our life, departing, separating, and hating sin, and giving Thee our lives wholly acceptable to Thee, a living sacrifice. Hear our prayer, Lord. Help us to do our best for Thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.